Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hiya, it's the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 256. There's a big thing that is going to be dropping on the Nerdist channel Monday, September 17th. I can't say what it is yet, but it's a thing that will be relevant to your interests for a couple of reasons. So the way that you will find out about this is either I will be talking loudly about it Monday, the 17th of September, or you can subscribe to the Nerdist channel at youtube.com/Nerdist. It's one of the biggest things we've ever undertaken, and I am very excited about it. So big fun. I would like to thank Hover.com for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Hover is domain name registration and management that is super simple. You can upgrade to a premium domain if you want. Premium domains are domains that are shorter or they're common words like shoehorn. Someone's got to have shoehorn, right? Everyone's got everything on the internet. Anyway, you could get something like that if you wanted to. Hover will help you figure out how to get it. Those are going to cost you a little bit more. But, if it's something that was going to drive traffic to your thing, your crazy shoehorn business, maybe it's made of a Bakelite, then who knows? Then maybe it's worth it for you to invest that money. If you just want a standard non-premium domain, that is fine too. As a matter of fact, for a standard domain, if you go to nerdist.hover.com and use the offer code Nerdist, you're going to get 10% off your domain. That is hover.com, H-O-V-E-R, domain name registration and management. That is simple. Thank you for supporting the Nerdist Podcast, hover.com. This episode was super, super, super fun. We recorded this. If you're listening to this the day it came out, we recorded this last night at Meltdown Comics in the side annex room. It was super. This was basically Brian Posehn is kind of putting together his own sort of comedy tour with comics that he loves. It's called Comedy Mutant. So they're going to be doing their first show at Club Nokia on Friday, September 21st. If you go to clubnokia.com, you can get tickets. The lineup is insane. It's Posehn, Arj Barker, Kyle Kinane, Fortune Feimster, Pete Holmes, Ron Funches, and Sean Patton. And they'll probably be surprise drop-ins too because it's in LA and it's those guys. So I highly recommend that show if you at all like comedy. It's an 8:30 p.m. show, again, Friday, September 21st at Club Nokia in Los Angeles, California. That's the other catch. You probably need to be West Coast, or you don't have to be. You could just come out if you wanted to, if you're hardcore. But one of the fun things about doing a podcast like this is so much of us as comics get busy and we just don't hang out much socially anymore. Not because we don't want to. We just get caught up in our own lives, and some people have kids and, and others of us have a work that's like our kid. And so this is an amazing excuse to get together and actually just hang out. I mean, this really was just a huge hangout session. It was me and Posehn and Pete and Ron Funches and Fortune and Myra. And it was a blast. So I love these guys dearly. And we just kind of do what comics do when you get together. We just talked and shot the shit and made a bunch of dick jokes and talked about comedy. And it was so much fun. So here it is. The Nerdist Podcast, episode number 256, with Comedy Mutant, a.k.a. Brian Posehn and friends.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
There you go.
What if God were...
It is. I can tell by the countery thing going up.
Just a stranger on a bus. I already started recording, Katie.
It's a remix.
So if we have to use the backup, it's not going to get the full episode.
Because this is the episode.
Ron Funches.
I made it. Jonas
Ron Funches. What if God was Ron Funches? Ah,
wait a minute.
Don't stop singing this song. Just a stranger on a post saying, just trying to buy a bunch of comic books.
Mm.
Who are we missing? Are we missing someone? Oh, Jonah Ray.
Yeah.
Well,
and Dave Raff wanted us to wait for a minute.
Hey, buddy.
We should just move on without him.
You know what? They'll show up when they show up, and then we can just start.
That's what I say.
We'll wave to them. Hey, does everyone sound okay, Katie?
I've only been singing Joan Osborne.
How do I sound?
Katie, I've said it the last time, but not when we're recording. I think you should marry Pete so you could be Katie Holmes.
Not a bad idea.
I just want that to happen.
Katie Holmes.
Very hot right now.
And he's not a Scientologist.
You don't know that. They have the most appealing campaign. They put flyers under our doors that said, are you curious about you? And I was like, go on. Like all that free stress.
I'm narcissistic. Yeah,
exactly. That was the first question. It's a yes to narcissism if you fill out the survey.
Brian Posehn, how are you?
Good. Are we doing this?
This is fucking, we're recording, dude.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't be.
It's going to be a good one.
I wouldn't be spewing those rips. Oh, God. Are you heckling me? We're on the show together.
Listen, seven comics in one table. What could possibly.
Oh, you didn't know? That's all I'm going to do on these shows. My set next week is going to be depending on what you say, and then I'll go out and go, oh, what about that?
Oh, no.
That's my opener.
You're the comedy mutant that tears us all down?
Yeah. Well,
you should.
I'll tell you.
What you should do.
I like Ron.
Actually, get Pete's set list, but then act like you haven't seen a set, and then your whole set is just, did Pete do the bit about the telemarketer? Oh, my God.
You couldn't even be bothered to watch it.
I just had somebody do talk on a subject before I went up. I never usually worry about middles or openers, like touching on something that I'm going to touch on. You
or
know,
as people.
Well, yeah.
Hmm? Or as people.
Right. But this guy did a joke about shitting on somebody's back, and I have a joke about shitting on somebody's back. Like, of all things,
back hack.
Could you not do the shitting on the back thing? Because I'm going to do my shitting on somebody's back.
I loved that.
Like, I've never had to have that conversation about something like that.
Years ago, I had a thing that I thought of, and I was like, this sounds like a Posehn joke, and I called you, and I was like, Brian, do you have a bit where you say that balls are just dick tits? And you're like, no, and you seemed kind of put off by it, and then I saw you at Comedy Death Ray that night, and you're like, Hardwick called me and asked me if I had a butt. Why am I the guy that people think has jokes about balls being tits? Am I that guy?
Like, when you told that story, I thought for certain you would be like, yeah. My second album was called Dick Tits. Old Man Dick Tits.
If you steal that, I'll kill you.
This is my Dick Tits, man.
What was the different angle on the shit on the back? Was it very... was it very similar?
No, only in that it was about shitting on somebody's back.
So could he have changed it to shitting on thigh or foot?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it sex shitting, like Hitler stuff?
No, his was about why he doesn't jump out of airplanes, because when you have to go the first time you're with somebody.
Oh,
you know,
tandem.
Yeah, tandem, and then he's going to shit on their back. Mine is that I can't fart on my friends because my asshole is so unreliable now.
What?
That there's an 85% chance if I fart on my friend, I'm going to shit on his back.
Would you want a bionic asshole? Like if someone could put
say face or something. I'm trying to reconcile this issue. It's already been handled.
Yes.
I'm like, wait, I think there's a way for both of these jokes to be in the show.
I'm worried about your unreliable asshole. What's gone horribly wrong?
When you get old and you drink whiskey, and well, you don't anymore, which is good.
No.
You have gay sex?
No.
It's unreliable.
You don't know what happens when you drink a lot of whiskey.
Then, oh, no, that's not what
and
I mean.
And then someone shit.
Oh, no,
so
I know.
Then I left out a part where someone shoves an action in your sideways in
exactly.
your asshole.
Not taking care of yourself for like your entire life. And then, are we on?
Yeah.
And then drinking whiskey.
Every fart's a gamble.
Turns possible farts into maybe diarrhea.
Gentleman Jack. Every fart's a gamble.
It's a fart with benefits.
Oh, gross.
Well, it's more a joke than it is an actual thing that I'm bothered by every day.
With the skydiving, though, he'd be shitting on a guy's penis or
stomach.
Yeah.
Doesn't really make sense.
What's that?
He said back.
Yeah, who is this guy?
He doesn't understand skydiving, obviously.
I'm just kidding. I was teasing. He's an instructor, so he's on the other side.
So now Pete's going to go home and write a shitting on a back.
come see the Comedy Mutant show. Every comedian does a shitting on the back joke. Sometimes for a porno, they'll be like, every girl takes it in the ass. This tour, every guy has a shit on the back joke. Come see it.
You guys got to work on
yours.
Yeah,
I'm thinking as we speak.
Funches, you ever go skydiving?
Never.
Why not?
Because I'm afraid of shitting on people.
See, it's a normal fear.
Apparently, it's the big phobia that's going around.
I couldn't even think of the word skydiving. I said jumping out of planes.
I don't necessarily have to be diving.
I don't want to put all my faith in a strap. That's what she said.
Okay. I'd never thought about that before, but now that you've mentioned that, now I would have a total anxiety about.
Yeah.
Shouldn't like you would have to. It would have to be. Like you were doing an anal scene in a porn, like you'd have to clean out fully.
Yep.
And then go skydiving. I'm sure it's happened.
What, the shitting?
Yes.
You need an enema first?
You'd have to do an enema. You'd have to do a pre-dive enema.
You know when you're going to shit is, yep.
Are you guessing that that's what people do in pornos, or did you hear that they do that?
I would just assume they would.
Some pornos, they show that process.
Oh,
my brother had a porno that like had some backdoor action.
That he was in?
And my brother was in it. My brother's name is John Holmes. That's real. And it included the enema. And I remember watching it being so confused and also aroused.
Was that just like a behind the scenes thing? Or?
I guess so. But it was like
Agatha on the VHS box.
VHS extras.
It was a VHS extra.
A making of this porno.
You bought the original Criterion release.
Because you really want to know their process.
Yeah.
Enema of the State. It was all it was a political anal drama.
I'm just frantically trying to think of other enema. Enema joke.
Enema at the
enema
gate.
Lines?
Enema at the gate. Yeah.
There we go.
With friends like this, who needs enemas?
Yeah.
Right, come on, guys. Frenemas.
Frenemas.
We're frenemas.
Oh my god.
We don't talk a lot, but we clean out each other's assholes. We're frenemas.
They say an enema is a key to living a long time. Old gentleman Jack over here. You should try that.
All right. I love my new name.
Come see Gentleman Jack.
So is this your tour, Brian, that you put together and then invite a bunch of comics on?
Yeah.
Well, sell it. Good.
No, it is, you know, we were talking about, like, Comedians of Comedy is one of the coolest things I've done, and I really miss it, and yeah. I've been talking about, like, doing my version of that at some point, and that's what this is. It all just sort of came together, a couple of us have the same manager, and he's walking into the room. Right, hey buddy,
cookie.
You know,
he was
about some
nutter butter, buddy.
He was like, "What if it's these guys?"
Yeah,
and then what if you call it this?
Yeah,
and I just went okay.
So, Comedians of Comedy. That was Patone.
Oswald.
And Zach, weird. Zach Gallifer.
For Nikki.
And Marie Bimfo.
Mary Bam.
Yeah. But it was one of the most fun things I've been involved with, and I've been looking to get that kind of thing, a tour, because Pat.
Maybe like the crazy dad at Thanksgiving, like, we're going to be a family.
They don't know that.
You're getting the band back together with different members.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
He's
I'm
journey
to be involved.
And so your show's at Club Nookie, and then where else are you guys performing?
That's it on the books so far.
Okay. All right.
It's all right. Contingent on people coming out to this. Really
yeah, but you can't judge a tour by Los Angeles. I mean, like Los Angeles is a unique animal, and it's you know I'm sure you guys will do fine. But I do know that people...
Smash cut two. So you ever shit on a back?
Empty.
Just Dave Rath.
Pretty good, buddy. 10% of those Nutter Butters are mine.
Joke twice. Made it twice.
Wow.
Make it twice. Make the joke twice. Okay, go on.
Funches, you got to jump in sooner or later. Come on. What's happening?
He's honey funches.
Happy to be here. I feel like I should be getting you guys water.
No, what are you talking about? Funches and I are both rocking Portland shirts. You've got your ground control shirt on. I've got my pal's bookstore shirt on, just blocks from each other.
Absolutely.
Blocks from each other.
Just a big-ass sandwich between us.
That's right. Fortune, where are you from, Fortune?
North Carolina.
You are North Carolina?
I am, yeah.
Nice. And I think the first time I met you, I was hosting New Faces at Montreal, is that right?
Yeah.
And I
did that a couple of years ago, and then we did the round table.
And we did the round table, yeah.
Chelsea lately.
That's right, yeah. Which I haven't done. I don't... I don't do Chelsea anymore. Are you still doing the show?
Yeah, well, I work there full time. I'm a writer.
Oh, so I guess that's yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's par for the course. Or I'm in some tiny outfit that's really inappropriate.
That was a fun. I did the show for 3 years. It was actually a really fun show.
Why'd they stop calling you, Chris?
What?
Why'd they stop calling you?
I think the note was, we're going to take a Hardwick break.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I did the show for 3 years, and...
How long has that show been on?
Like 5 years, I think.
Wow.
And I did the show for 3 years, and, you know, it was really fun to do, but I felt like it might have been a little square peg, round hole. I mean, I would try to force some nerd jokes on there, much to the dismay of the audience there. And, and you know, like, they gave me 3 years on that show, and it actually... I loved doing the show because there's, as you know, as comedians, there were so few outlets for comedians to do comedy on television.
True.
And it really was like, you know, you get the topics the day of, you write jokes, and it's a crash, you know, like it kind of just gets your mind.
Never done that show, but those kind of shows are really fun to do.
They're like, really great.
That's what Tough Crowd was back in the day.
And it's a great thing for comics because, you know, as you know, there's not a lot of stand-up on television, and there certainly wasn't at that time. Comedy Central's doing some more, but it's like, you know, people would just kind of drop stand-up from late-night talk shows.
Yeah.
And so that was a way, and it actually helped comedians sell tickets, and, you know.
Yeah,
and so.
It's
sure.
Like the credit on the road now, like if you look at posters for all the comics.
Yeah, it was very helpful, but I think, you know, just at a certain point, I did the show for 3 years, and I think they were...
Yeah, I think they cycle people in and out.
They cycled in and out.
And they, like, you know, they're like, go on, do your thing, and it's a good platform.
The funny
sure.
thing about it is that I was kind of getting to a place where I was like, I don't know if I should... Like, I'm not sure this really fits my voice anymore. And then that was right when they were like, I think we're going to take a Hardwick break. And then I was like, what the fuck? You know? But it happened at the same time, but they got to it first. And then
you can't fire me.
I was going to break up with
come
you.
Come on, man.
Oh, fuck you, I quit. You can't fire me.
Wait, can I come on one more time? And they're like, okay, fuck you, I quit. Yeah. It's basically, I have to go back on one time. But I did that in most of my jobs.
But I miss you.
It was really... I miss you, too, and I missed you in the show with Pete and Bronger and
sweet. I've actually never done it.
I thought you did the show at least once.
It seem like I've done it? Yeah, it seems like the kind of thing
I would do. You would have done that show.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I did Best Week Ever.
You did Best Week.
Sometimes that gets confused. Now it's all panel shows. There's a lot of panel shows coming out.
And Jessel, I think you're too close to Chelsea, like all your material's about being a drunk whore.
Yeah. I always throw to a small person, all that sort of stuff. I'm really proud of you, Hardwick, for saying, I did the show for 3 years, but I haven't done it lately.
Oh!
If I'm going to think of it, I'm going to say
Chelsea
it.
I Chelsea what you did there.
Ah! Are you there, Hardwick? It's me, break. I love that you took it so well, and then in my mind, I just smash cut to you in the shower crying with Alanis Morissette's Uninvited.
I put a wig on like Alanis, and I'm just naked and balled up on the floor with my wet Canadian hair in my face.
Are you Canadian?
No, but she is.
The wig was.
Her hair is.
Just for realism, for cosplay realism, I bought the wig in Calgary. Just so that I could...
You're very method.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Alanis was on You Can't Do That on Television.
She was,
remember that?
Yeah. She was on that.
She played herself.
Yeah, I heard an interview once and was like, you were on there. You Can't Do That on Television. Who'd you play? She goes, I played Alanis. Because everyone just was that. It was like they were just characters of themselves.
Right. I used to love that joke.
Moose.
Barf.
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 Barf burgers.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah.
I wanted to eat barf burgers so badly. I knew they had boogers and stuff in them. I didn't give a fuck. And Ninja Turtles pizza.
Yep.
Whatever flavor the Ninja Turtles were eating, perfect to be in this room.
I always wanted the pizza from Home Alone 2 that he gets presented.
What
you
is that
filthy
pizza?
Animal.
It's just this delicious looking pizza. That one and the one
pizza.
That comes out of the hydrator in Back to the Future 2.
Yes, that was
like, that's a good looking pizza.
That's
you know
a good
why,
movie
do you know
pizza.
Why? Do you know why? Because Lorraine really could hydrate a pizza.
Yeah. Level 4. That's all you need. Hydrate level 4.
That
and
was
it's done.
Some sharpshooting. Nicely done. Why don't we have that? Do you remember when we were kids and Capri Sun looked like the future and now we're adults and it still looks like the future? Like, when are we going to be living in that world?
Are you doing Best Week Ever now?
Yeah. There's a colored background behind me. No, this is I Love the 80s.
It's coming back.
I still actually do like the Capri Suns, and I still get excited about...
Oh, when you nail it.
The last two times I've gone straight through the bag.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not working.
Am I too strong for Capri Sun?
You're too strong for Capri Sun. You don't know your own strength.
It's made for toddlers that are supposed to be like, I'm a big boy. That like, straw could shift someone. Yeah. That's a prison weapon.
You're like a some weird sort of Kryptonian thing where you're powered by Capri Sun. Like that's that's.
Oh my god! What if I am?
That could be. And you just like, get really strong when you're around Capri
Sun. I'd like to pitch a Capri Sun commercial where it's a hospital and on the IV they put a they put a Capri Sun and just drain an IV of Capri Sun into you and then it just says Capri Sun.
Or they put that little aluminum foil thing on a kid's arm and then jam the IV in. I think that's the other way.
Yeah, it's got to be all little kids, too.
Like they go hyper
entire hospital ward of little kids.
Yeah. Well, I think we're on to something.
Don't you think if we ran an ad company, it would be like we'd challenge each other, like take the saddest thing you can think of and spin, see if you can spin it in a positive way.
Sure.
A bunch of kids in a hospital ward, and then their arms are Capri Suns.
I have some, but
Michael Clark Dunkin'
just
Donuts.
A little bit.
Damn it.
Go back to frowning.
Jesus.
Michael Clark Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, that'd be the sad thing that
Michael,
you would do now.
Who did Michael Clark Dunkin' Donuts?
I did. That's for the ad campaign that we're doing, right? Are we doing sad things?
I guess that is sad thing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that is a very sad thing.
Jeez.
Well done.
Thanks, Pete.
He died.
Well, he's not living anymore.
Yep. Joe Patrono?
I didn't even know you were sick.
He had a heart attack in July and then and didn't
never really left the hospital.
Didn't really pull out of it.
Yeah, he didn't
Now it's weird. Now we're drifting into Pete Holmes' territory. Ryan just made it weird.
No, I didn't even know.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. It is really true. When you have a kid, you just kind of go into baby mode, and you lose a lot of what's going on in the world because you're focused on the baby.
I guess.
If you're missing out on all that late breaking Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah.
That's why you don't have the Google alerts? Come on.
No, and I barely pay attention to Twitter, so I'm sure everybody was like, remember him in the Green Mile?
Yeah.
Like, watch that tonight, you know, and I missed that.
Wait a minute. We were supposed to, you're okay? You were in a car accident last week.
Yeah.
We were supposed to do this podcast last week, and then last minute, they were like, Brian was in a car accident. I'm like, what?
It was fucking crazy.
So you're okay? Rhodes is okay? Everything's
yeah.
fine?
Yeah.
What happened?
But I wanted to murder the person who put my baby in jeopardy.
Oh, what happened?
Well, it was 6:30 in the morning.
He took the baby.
Well done.
Leaving downtown Seattle.
I didn't want to say that, but I was thinking it.
I mean, if you think
of it.
You were
in Seattle.
Yeah, I was up at Bumper Shoot and took the whole family. It was one of those crazy things. Like, we were so stressed the entire weekend about taking our kid to Seattle. We haven't traveled much with him. And we were wondering how he was going to do, and all this, and it wound up being like an amazing weekend. Like, we took cabs. We were worried about like getting around Seattle with the 3-year-old, because we're such LA parents. We're used to our car seat, and we we're worried about his safety and all that. And we get around fine, and now we're leaving Seattle after 4 days, and we're both like. Basically, it just high-fived me and Melanie. We were like, oh, we made it. Like, we're on our way to the airport. This
Nothing
went off totally.
Wrong.
No, it was one of those moments. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
We had both just said, like, well, that went off without a hitch. Now we're going to, fly home and everything's great. And some dipshit was looking at his GPS going to his first day of work.
Oh.
And he totally ran a red. And it was so crazy. Like, have you ever been in an accident?
Yes, several.
The few that I've been in, I've always noticed that it feels like time slows down.
Yep.
And it totally did that again. Like, I remember in high school, I was listening to Hot for Teacher.
that checks out.
Yeah. And some guy's coming down the road, taking up two lanes. I grew up in a really small town, Sonoma. And he's taking up both lanes, hydroplaning. Coming towards me, and everything slowed down.
I'll bet it looked awesome to the soundtrack of Hot for Teacher.
But everything slowed down as he went by me, and I flew off the road into a vineyard. And it ended.
It's a nice
as he slid by in slow motion of David Lee Roth at the end of the or in the middle, right after the solo. He goes, "Oh my god!" Like that. It was so perfectly timed. So whatever. Whenever I hear that song, right. I think of me almost dying.
That's
but then,
really weird that you say that because I was in a car accident my first year of college. We were coming back from Tijuana, like it was like 5 a.m. We were driving through the 5 in Tustin.
You and Will Wheaton.
It was not Will.
No.
It was some high school friends, and the guy who was driving got sleepy, and he And there, it was kind of raining, and he hit the brakes. He kind of dozed off, and he hit the brakes. There was a car, like a broken down truck, in the center lane, and he just hydroplaned into the car, and we all got really fucked up. But I think
and Morrissey slowed down.
It was
what shitty music were you listening to?
It was an artist called Basha, and the song was called "Cruisin' for Bruisin'."
Whoa.
You were listening to Bosch?
I wasn't. The guy who was driving was it. We were all asleep.
That's why he fucking fell asleep. Like, that's
no,
that's like worse than Enya.
We should have been able to sue her.
Yeah.
Orinoco Flow is a bad song to get in a car accident, too. Let me sail, kablam.
Yeah.
He slid into a vineyard.
Who were the monks that like that had that
the
really
Benedictine
big enigma or something?
Yeah.
An entire car full of sleeping people.
We all thought that was awesome. Mm. I remember being in high school. You're older than me, so you could have been cooler than me, right?
I definitely was.
This is pre-shitting well every time you fart. So back in the day, you had better taste
in music.
I
didn't say I shit every time I fart.
I know, you're a magical
man. Can I just say I got to go back and give Pete some credit really fast?
Yo.
Because everyone else kind of skated over it. When you said Rhodes was going up to Seattle, we didn't know how we would do. Pete goes, why did he have sets? I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that half of me was laughing while the other half was listening to your story.
It was a magical
He actually
time.
Did go out with me, and he crushed.
Does that kind of make you a little mad? Like, come on. What the fuck?
No, it was like he's goddamn adorable.
Right. And, it probably felt like being on stage with Patton.
I do have to carry Patton out.
To Bjorn?
And I can feel his wet diaper on my arm.
You care about a Bjorn?
I carry him through the crack. You know?
Do you, with a kid, get excited when you see trucks and planes and stuff, the things that they get excited about?
He's already into superheroes. He, like, skipped all that thing where
really?
Garbage trucks are amazing and fire trucks. Like, we'll drive, and I'll go, buddy, a cop car is fire truck. And he's just sitting in the back. Does not give
Who's
a shit
like?
About that.
Who's he like?
He's
superhero?
More into all the Avengers.
Really?
And he knows everybody's real name, and it's fucking crazy.
Which one is he?
My wife is, like, you're making a nerd clone. And
yeah.
I didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah. We have equal totally time with
I tried to come out a jock. I'm sorry. I can't. Yeah. I don't control these things. Maybe it's ball temperature. I don't know what controls it.
But back to the accident.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It just slowed down, and luckily she tagged him. He didn't hit us. We hit him and sent him spinning around. And he was like a fucking stunt driver. The guy stayed within the lines. Like, he spun past us, past the intersection, and was still within the lines. It was
I like to think
pretty
as he
impressive.
Was spinning the GPS was going recalculating. Turn around.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
That sucks. Did you spin and go? Last time you went into a vineyard. This time, did you like careen into a cheese?
No, we
just only delicious, wonderful places. We went into a cheese tasting.
No, it was an actual vineyard, not a.
I know it wasn't delightful. You went into bitter Merlot grapes. I still
they weren't even ready to be harvested. I have the worst.
They
luck.
Showed a lot of potential, though. A little sour. These are sideways references.
So you guys are all okay.
We're all okay. And
good.
Yeah, like my neck hurt that day, but you know, it was so crazy.
Brian, as your lawyer, I'm going to
funny
have to
about
say,
it, but
take that part out.
Like Melanie and I, he was sitting in between us, and so we're both like, and it's just so crazy, like. How much you fucking care about your kid now. Like, I'm so not violent, and I wanted to go beat the shit out of the guy for, like, putting my kid in danger at all, and then making him cry for 5 minutes, because he was totally traumatized.
I'm sure.
But then, he's been talking about car wrecks ever since.
Oh, fuck, the poor kid must be having nightmares.
I don't know, but he's been talking about, every time we drive, he's like, are we going to hit that?
You kind of got to start hitting stuff now. Just to be like, okay.
He's not going to be surprised by the car crash and adaptation now.
Was the guy's that is a great great movie pizzas and great movie car wrecks. That is a great one.
He's gonna love the movie Crash.
See it coming. Because little kids love adaptation.
I know one thing.
What was the guy's job?
Nanny McPhee in adaptation.
Daddy, his twin brother's like Hollywood. He's the artist.
He gets it. I didn't get it the first time.
And when his brother takes over the script, that's when the movie changes too. It's
so meta. Jesus Christ.
McKee States.
What was the guy's job? He was on his first day.
I didn't ask. I didn't want to talk to him.
I
didn't even go over to where he was because I was so upset.
You must be terrifying, angry.
Me?
Yeah, you scare me in regular life because you're bigger than me, and you know,
not by much.
You're clearly a gentle man and a nice guy.
Right.
But like, if you lost it, I would just light myself on fire for fear of what you would do to me. Be like, I know where this is going. Crossbow to the palate.
This is how I express love. Oh, he set himself on fire for no reason.
If it makes you feel any better, Brian, he did not make it to work and he was fired.
It's possible.
I hope so.
So you haven't had any dealings with the guy? You had to trade information?
No, well, because it was the car company, and we were in a town car or whatever, so they took care of all that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Snazzy. How was Bumbershoot this year?
It was fucking awesome.
It's always
and
awesome.
And then you go to a comedy club after that.
It's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
I went to a casino after it. It was way different.
Wait, so there were no like hip young music lovers at the casino?
No, really. No.
Your shins closer than
what? I could hear the sound of Skittles hitting the floor.
Maybe they were just trying.
That was the name of the waitress.
Wow, Myra.
I'm
really appreciating what you're doing.
I've only ever seen you do well, Ron.
Thank you.
And so what is it? So what? How do you fare in a situation where it's like a casino type room?
I usually go into it going, this is gonna be horrible. And then it starts being horrible. And then I go, oh, I was right. And so I feel down. And then I go, no, fuck you. I'm good. And so then I start doing things that make
you say that out loud? Or
yeah.
Fuck you, I'm good.
And then I spend the rest of the set telling them why they're wrong.
Was it a full room, or is it one of those rooms where it's like people can sit down and eat and watch a show and get up whenever they want?
Yeah, they can. I mean, the main draw, there were two draws. The first draw was that it was free. The second draw is that you could smoke inside.
Oh.
And then comedy was the third.
Oh, my God.
The third least important draw.
You're not nuts on the bar. You're ashtrays in the casino. Have you ever heard comedians called nuts on the bar? It's
no.
Really degrading. Just like a reason to drink.
Oh, nuts on the bar.
Yeah, like we're nuts on the bar. Not like Ryan Posehn, you know, dick tits. You know,
right.
Like nuts.
Right.
Like actually salty, spicy nuts.
We're just shit on the back.
Yeah. Well, that's what we are. We're shit on the back of a skydive of liquor.
Where did you start doing comedy, Fortune?
I started here in L.A. at the Groundlings. I started in sketch comedy and improv.
Then
went to the Comedy Store and...
What is it like learning to do comedy at the Comedy Store?
It's brutal. It's awful. I mean, but that's kind of what made me tough. I started in the belly room, and I was like, I'll play music for you if you let me do 10 minutes every week. So I was like a faux DJ. I just pressed play on an iPod. It was pretty awesome. And then just kind of, you know, worked my way up and went right to the OR. And I think that's one of the hardest rooms in the country. Like, people are just staring at you like... Okay. What
some
now?
Of them seem a little homeless or just strangely
like they
aggressive.
Just, they just walk in and like, what's happening?
Yeah, the comedy
store. And then what
happened
when you played a good room?
It felt so easy.
Did you
I was
love
like,
it?
Oh my yeah, god, yeah, this yeah. is amazing!
Yeah, you've been training with weights.
Yeah, I mean, like once I left LA and started doing some road shows, I was like, holy shit, people laugh at the worst jokes. This is awesome. But yeah, in LA it was definitely trial by fire. I just had to kind of work my way through it. But
LA is a rough town to learn to do comedy in because
there's entertainment everywhere.
No, I never recommend it.
I would tell people to leave even and then come back.
I would say if you're in a city like Austin or Chicago or Portland or Seattle or San Francisco or, you know, start or Denver, like start there or Minneapolis.
Yeah, Boston.
Milwaukee. You start there and then go to New York.
Yeah.
Like when you get when you kind of get comfortable in your own town, then like New York should be your next step because there's just not a lot of places to perform in LA and the audiences are not – it's a lot of comics.
Yeah,
that's
but
all you do it for.
You essentially started here, right?
I did, and it was a bad idea because it took me, you know, I built up
but
all
you
these...
you started in the alternative room. Well, sorry to...
That's exactly right, which actually was bad for me because it's, you know, what worked in those rooms is just not what works in most rooms in the country.
So you never had those brick wall moments.
Never had those moments.
That she started with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so when I started doing the road, I had to completely... relearn and redo, and I had to turn to crowd work because it's like, oh, these people don't want to hear stories about auditions.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
it was really they don't want meta comedy jokes.
Were yeah. you doing that much road though before you were a name or?
No. It was after I'd been working for a while.
And
I mean,
then, and then you started touring.
Then I started. Then I started touring. But it was, from like 98 to 2003, really, I was just performing in Los Angeles and then occasionally in New York, but hadn't really done that. I mean, even you know, guys going to Brea or Irvine is a totally different...
I just did a thing. That's our road. If you want to do a little road, go to even the Laugh Factory on a Thursday. It's going to be a lot of tourists. It's going to be decent, and it'll give you a little taste of how your act would work.
The Laugh Factory is the most road-like room.
Yeah.
In LA.
I haven't gone up in there in years, or the Comedy Store. I mean, I feel like I've enjoyed the luxury of not having to go up in those places.
Well, I was going
to
say,
like,
that's our casino.
Like improv.
Yeah, but
I do Melrose a couple times a year, and then that's it. And I never even really...
Part of me is disappointed in myself that I don't... It's like... When you do comedy for a long time and you start to get picky and you're like, well, I really only want to perform for my crowd. And then another part of me is like, yeah, but where you really build muscle is by fucking is what you're saying.
Maybe you should just go on a Hardwick break.
can you actually take a break from yourself?
I guess I could. Yeah, I'll just send myself an email.
That's the plot of What About Bob. Yeah.
I'll just send myself an email.
Any good pizzas in gay shows? And those spoil you.
Oh, do the gay shows?
The gay Side shows are pretty amazing.
Because whenever you can do a show and it's kind of a themed show and you have a connection to that theme, and the alternative shows in LA were basically comedy nerd themed shows. So a gay show, I would imagine, is even a little more niche than that.
Yeah, I mean, especially gay men, they just want to laugh and they're drinking. Like, if you want to like have great self esteem, even if you're a straight guy, just go to a gay man show and they'll be like, "Oh my god, it's hilarious!" You're like, "Thank you."
And then you can't go to the Midwest and be like, "Well, the gays like
it." Right?
And they're like,
"Get them.
Let's give it a shot."
You know, every once in a while I'll go perform at the Laugh Factory, and then always something weird happens where the last time I was there was a couple years ago, and Dom Herrera was doing a Tuesday night show, and he's like, "Oh, you got to come by and do the Tuesday night." I was like, great.
He's mixing pasta as
"Hey, Chris Hardwick, you come and try the sauce and do
a pizza. It looked like you never know what future pizza I know."
So, is he Italian?
Dom Herrera?
Is that what you're...
Yeah, he hasn't been performing for a while. He had to go rescue a princess and a bunch of plumbing pipes. But you should see him jump on a turtle. So he invited me to the show, so I show up to the Laugh Factory, and of course, it's a night that he decided not to go, and they don't have me on the list to perform. They're like, "Oh, we'll put you up. We'll put you up at like 11:55. And then Dane shows up.
Dane, get over here.
Yeah, and so Dane shows up and does...
Dane.
Dane Clark. And so Dane he does an hour and a half of pretty much nothing, just like dicking around on stage. He's just trying to work
out. He's just breaking balls up there.
He was breaking a lot of balls, mainly ours, because he bumped a bunch of people. And then so by the time I actually went on stage, it was like 1:20 in the morning.
Good for you sticking around.
Most of the people had left.
Oh.
And so there was like 15 people.
Why did you stay?
In the audience. Because I kind of got to a point where I was like, I'm not going to be a fucking spoiled comic and be like, "Well, I'm going to leave." I'm like, you know what? This is his room. This is where, you know, like, I'll fucking... That's fine.
Sure.
Inside, it really wasn't fine, but I was trying to make it fine. And then it just was an awful experience. Everyone wanted to leave, and I don't know. It was, and it's not like he crushed for 90 minutes. It just... He just kind of wore them out.
If he is ever here at the Nerdist Theater, you should just bump him. Just come in and do an hour and 40.
That's what I'll do. I wouldn't even want to listen to myself do an hour and 40 minutes of stand-up.
You just show an episode of Doctor Who.
Yes. Back to back.
And then your comedy makes sense.
Yeah.
That would be the exact same. The way you felt about his set is I bet how he would feel about watching Doctor Who. Like, what the fuck is this?
Probably.
He's kind of wasting time.
Yeah, I'll just show three Doctor Who.
I don't
Doctor
get
Who
it.
Episodes.
He's going in a tiny box, but it's bigger.
I don't understand.
It's kind of a tricky thing, though, because, you know, not to just defend that, people, more people go to the Laugh Factory because Dane might be
absolutely
there. You know what I'm saying? And I know you understand that.
Yeah.
So there's kind of like, wait, this whole thing happened with
but
the
I
DJ.
But I can't imagine that I would ever, and I fucking, I run a room, and I can't imagine ever being in a position where I would feel like, I'm just going to go on stage, even though other people were scheduled, yeah, and perform for 90
here,
minutes.
I was here on Sunday. Remember, Fun Cheese, I saw you here. And I was like, maybe I'll jump on the open mic and do 25. And then I was like, no, it's the,
I would have let you on my show.
I know, I'm sure. It would have been nice. But I mean, like, not, I don't know. It's a weird consideration.
I think it's, you know, it's just, I just
certain guys that are okay with that. Because a lot of headliners would never do
that. No, no, because you feel bad because you remember it sucks to get bumped, and you kind of want to be respectful of everyone's time, and you don't want to be the fucking guy that other comics are
just
like.
Just go on at the end. I don't understand. Like, you know, go on at the end.
Yeah.
That'll be fine. Tosh will deliberately not. Like, I'll never forget it. He was at the Improv, and he was like, Pete can go first. Like, that'll be okay. Like, he didn't. I was like, clearly, like, you know?
Yeah.
And he wanted to do a long set.
You were doing your Chewbacca impersonation, and he was like, he really needs to be on stage.
Schwarzenegger Chewbacca.
Please let him on stage so I don't have to.
Chopper.
Oh, I want to hit you.
But it was organic.
It was. No, I apologize.
It's not like a bit I do.
Okay, what if Chewbacca Schwarzenegger?
Oh, thank God I can do my Chewbacca Schwarzenegger bit. I've been waiting. Steering the conversation.
Any former governor?
Here's Chewbacca Schwarzenegger shitting on DeVito Solo's back.
You kind of want to try it.
I did.
You did try it. I mean,
it's fun.
DeVito Solo. Wow.
I went to Twins. Shit. I mashed up Twins and Star Wars.
Yeah, it took me a minute.
Sorry.
I'm trying to think of what Dom Herrera would be if he was Han Solo. I can't figure it out though. Or if Dom Herrera were any of the Star Wars characters. Dom.
Leave them to me. I'll deal with them myself.
Greedo?
No.
Was that Greedo?
No!
Greedo?
No! It's just
here's
a
Dom Herrera.
You got Jabba's money or what? Come on.
Dom Herrera. Dom Herrera Han Solo is Guido Empire Strikes Back. Leia says, I love you. And then he goes, forget about it. And then it gets frozen by carbonite.
I think I got to go with Greedo Guido.
Depending on which version you watch, either I shot or I didn't.
This cantina's pretty fucked up. Am I right?
I got a nice sauce. Oh, I know you fuck your brother, but I fuck my mother. Italians!
Italians.
Just yell Italian.
Sorry, Italians.
I would watch this.
You undid Ron Funches for
a lot of my podcasts include the phrase, sorry,
I'm
going to
let it slide. My mother's Italian. I can let that slide. That's
okay.
True story.
I give you a pass.
All right, now I'm a little offended by that.
I'm going to make a ruling.
Pete Holmes in a Guido too far. Pete Holmes goes one racial step too far.
Guido too far.
One step too far.
Guido does sound like a decadent cheese, doesn't it?
We have a
lovely goat's Guido.
Maybe it goes with a queso fresco.
In the family of Gouda.
How are you? So when did you start? You started in Los Angeles. When did you start doing the road, Fortune?
I started that right around when I did Last Comic Standing.
How was that?
I was really reluctant to do it because I had watched the other seasons where they lived in the house together, and I was like, no fucking way do I want to be in a house with a bunch of stand-up comics. I just thought it was terrible. We would all just be moody and brooding the whole time.
Sinking up.
And then when they said it was just going to be all stand-up, I was like, cool. And it actually ended up being a good experience.
Oh, good.
Because for me, I had been doing stuff in L.A., and only L.A. people knew who I was, and that was like the first time that... like, I got to really be on TV, so for me it was good, because it was a nice way to just get some exposure.
Yeah, that's good. I felt like I had a weird emotional relationship to that show, because I watched season 2, and it was like Todd Glass. Was Benson on that season?
I think that's the one he was on, beginning, yeah.
And just watching what they did, where they would pit basically our friends against each other, having to go into that confessional booth and say, I'm funnier than, that just fucking made me so mad.
Of course.
There was so little of the show was actually devoted to stand-up that I just felt like, you're just taking the worst parts of being a comedian and putting them on television, all the neuroses and the competitiveness.
Well, it's more like a reality show then. They were wanted to see all that backstabbing and weird stuff.
Yeah, that bummed me out a little bit. Yeah. But I'm glad the
experience. Yeah, well,
like
it was the very
you.
Last season. They had like canceled it and then brought it back and then tried to do it with just stand up and it got canceled again. They're like, bring back the reality TV part. I don't know, but it was cool. It was like a good chance to meet other comics, and they did, you know, brought in a lot of New York comics and people from across the country.
Was that the Josh Blue year?
No, that was the year Felipe Esparza won.
I don't know Felipe.
So you did it when Andy and
Andy and Natasha were the judges.
Oh, okay. Oh, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, right. It was. I don't know if I should tell the story. I might have to cut this out.
Do it.
Right after the first season of Last Comic Standing, when Dat Fan won, we were at the Improv, and there's a giant ceiling fan in the middle of the bar, and he walked under it, and Brian leans over and he goes, "I wish Dat Fan would fall on Dat Fan."
I was hoping that's where you were going. When you started to say Dat Fan, I was like, is he going to tell that story? I don't mind you using that because I still think that's funny. I would say it right now if he walked into the room.
Oh my God.
No fan. But
I would install a fan that you might make the joke again. I would get to work.
What was unfortunate for like for a guy like that to win that show is that he had
a guy like
that? What?
A guy like that.
Yeah. Thank you, Ray.
Sorry.
Katie, what are we recording this on? I thought we were recording on Dat. All right. Sorry.
Wow, we all right go out on a limb. Real moment.
Oh, I know we're all
foreign like, names wow. are hilarious.
Anybody people. Record on Dat anymore?
I'm a fan of it.
Dave Rass said true Dat.
You're supposed to text that to me so I can reap the laugh.
He's the funniest manager once again.
But what was interesting, I think, and just from what I had heard for Last Comic Standing, that he had like a 15 minutes and he won the competition with that, you know, with that 15 minutes, but then didn't really have the hour. When they toured him, he had a rough time.
Yeah.
Like coming up with the hour. It was almost kind of not an entirely fair situation.
Right.
John Heffron had the same thing. He wrote this pretty interesting advice to people who want to do Last Comic Standing. I'm saying that right. John Heffron,
yeah.
Yeah, but he wasn't already a headliner when he did that?
He was doing colleges. He was a big college act.
But then he did all of his material, which you have to win, and then you go on the road and no one wants to hear it anymore. So he wrote this like pretty good cautionary. I hate that show. I've always hated that show. The whole spirit of it just bugs the shit out of me.
It was a bummer.
There's a great Hedberg joke. Can I say it?
Please.
Great Hedberg joke where he goes, if you go to a competition with 20 comedians, a comedy competition with 20 comedians, at the end you have one winner and 19 comedians who don't think comedy should be judged. Isn't that great? But that's kind of how I am. It kind of prostatizes it. Is that a word?
But did you watch every single episode?
No, I didn't really watch it.
Because I would never do that show.
But you liked it?
And I watch. I think I've seen every episode ever.
Really?
Yeah, because I think because I love stand-up so much that I just liked it being represented, even though I thought it was the wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
That was a big part of just watching comics I'd never heard of, and then also watching our friends in the beginning, and then like, you know, the Andy and Natasha and Greg year, just to watch three people that I love, you know, judging too, and kind of
I'm kind of basing this on the first year, right? Yeah. Reality television as a whole makes me very anxious. All the gongs and the way they cut it, where it's like
your reality from the 70s.
Are you talking about the gong show?
It's not a gong
show.
As much as it's a deep bell sound where it's like I'll be like. Like, let's say I'm sending one of you home. I'll be like, and the person going home from the Nerdist podcast is, and then you can tell they cut the audio.
Right.
And we have 8 shots of you guys. And then that's where the dong, like old belfry, like Liberty Bell, is just rung. I can't stand it. It makes me so tense. But then when someone wins or something, I immediately start tearing up. I can't handle it. I'm on my period.
Really? you do enjoy the winning aspect?
I'm a super sucker. American Idol, any of those shows. I was just watching MasterChef and like,
I teared
was like,
up for that too.
Christine,
I teared spoiler. Up at I the it. Trailer of Katy Perry's Pieces of Me.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, she accomplished her dream.
She made it.
She used to just sing in front of a mirror with a brush for a microphone, and now...
I teared up at the album Pieces of You.
Oh, Jewel.
That's adorable.
I do like that one song.
We're all firecrackers, aren't we?
Comics, we have crusty outer shells and creamy soft centers.
Yeah.
We're all just sensitive.
You said that because there's Oreos on the table.
I didn't, but that you made a good connection there. There's also Nutter Butters. And yeah. No one's touched on any of them.
What are they going on with that name? Nutter Butter? There's nuts and butter? But
well, it's peanut butter. It's nutty peanut butter.
Peanut butter. Oh, I
see. It rhymes.
Okay.
Johnny Cochran thought
are
of it. I don't know.
You doing a bit on like, a 30-year-old treat? Well,
that's what our manager brought to us.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Concerned.
Pete, my friend, you were sitting on 15 minutes of gold. What's the deal with Nutter Butters? Why do they name it that?
Nutter Butter. Peanut butter with nuts. It's already nuts.
Standing ovation.
What's the deal with the box? I love doing Seinfeld every day.
Oh, was that Seinfeld? Yeah.
Good time to plug that I'll be taping my special in Austin.
Yeah, plug it.
Oh, I will. On October 23rd. Come see that. I'll open for myself as Seinfeld.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That'd be a really interesting idea to take on the persona of another comic and open as that comic. You're like,
oh, I'd love
listen,
to.
Seinfeld's never going to open for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be Seinfeld and open for me as Seinfeld.
It's the most fun thing to do. I love doing impressions that are overdone. And that's my bad Seinfeld, but it's the most fun thing in the world.
Have you guys ever tried to, just for fun, write jokes for other comics just
sure.
to see what it's like to write in their voice?
Yeah.
You mean to give like,
not
a
for
joke
real
to
no no
friend,
no just for fun, like see if you can write like,
well, that's how Seinfeld started, because Larry David gave Seinfeld material for his birthday. Like, he wrote him some jokes. Like, he did exactly what you're saying with the comic we're talking about and gave it to him, and Seinfeld read it, and it was Larry David's jokes out of Seinfeld's face, and it was like, they were like, we have a winner. You know what I mean?
That's
and then
good.
They started working together.
Oh, I never heard that.
Some of these will just be anecdotes. They're not always going to be like really fun.
Well, I think that could be, that's an interesting way
someone
for...
Someone learned something
for,
somewhere.
I think that's an interesting way for young... I mean, I wouldn't try to rip off someone's style, but I think if you think of someone you're influenced by, and like, you know, sometimes it just gets you out of your head, like, what would that...
Well, isn't that what you're doing anyway when you start...
I guess without being conscious
of
it, you are.
I think a lot of guys... Yeah. I mean,
everyone goes through a Hedberg phase.
And Brian Regan phase.
And a Brian Regan phase. You could argue I'm still in my Brian Regan phase.
When I started, it was a bunch of guys in San Francisco doing, like, a Jake Johansson thing.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, you know... That's God, back
so
then.
Fucking funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I write about being a drunk straight chick every day.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm like, I can totally tap into this.
You know, I felt it's funny with the Chelsea show. I felt like I was on thin ice, and then the last time I did the show, I never attacked anyone else on the panel,
mm-hmm.
but I would always see Joe Coy and Chelsea go back and forth at each other, and I took a shot at Chelsea, and it just something in me was like, that didn't land the way I wanted it to. And I almost... She rolled with it, but I was like, I don't think...
You're like, that's it.
I don't think... I think it might have just...
I did that with Marin recently.
I think it might have just been the thing that just was sort of like, okay. And I don't know if I had just invented that story in my head of like, that's what happened. But in my but I felt it at the time. I was like, I don't know.
Do you remember
the
joke?
It had something to do with...
You're a drunk whore.
No.
She's like, how dare you?
It had something to do with, like, her and, like, fucking a
executive?
Rapper, like 50 Cent or something. And I was like, you know, like, well, I've read the tabloids, and apparently you have blah, blah, blah. It was like one of those.
Uh-huh.
And it got a mild laugh, and then she rolled with it. But I just... You know, we're hypersensitive to rooms.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell when something... And I was just like, God, I don't know. And then... The next time, that was right after that they were like, okay, I think we're
we're
good, yeah.
I was thinking about today, like if we did a show with John Hamm or something, would you make a I've seen your penis joke? And I was like, you can't, not with the Hamm.
No.
He's a national treasure. You sit that one out.
You can't talk about his penis at all?
Well.
I would. I'd be like, look at that dong.
I feel like we would if we had him back on.
Yeah, absolutely. He would talk about it.
Yeah.
But I mean like make a stupid joke.
Like, oh, right. Yeah.
What's
name?
Insulting about a giant dick?
Like,
he got photographed by paparazzi, and apparently he wasn't wearing underwear, so you could just fully see the outline of his crank. And so, of course, the tabloids like blew it up. Like, so it was a picture of him and Jennifer walking, and then they blew it up in a bubble next to it, and you really
can't
see that.
It is
exactly the kind of cock you think that guy would have.
He has done
a nice one.
He's got a nice one.
And did that happen the same day that Michael Clark Duncan died?
No. That would be too much for the world.
Do you think he absorbed his soul?
Every morning he
Michael
should get
Clark
up and thank
Duncan
Draper.
Duncan got beaten
as
with
well as
Don
Jesus
Draper's cock.
For giving him another.
What happens when Don Draper's cock gets haunted by the ghost of the guy from the Green Mile?
Hung like a ham.
I went the opposite. I thought he called dibs on Michael Clark's Duncan's dick.
He was number one on the transplant list.
Celebrities can do
he's
that.
He's not going to need this. I'll just say that.
Celebrities can do that. But he, so Jonah was talking about it, and Jonah was saying like that there are just some guys who are like, really? He gets that too?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's funny and he's handsome and he gets a huge dong.
Yeah. Well,
some people. What did you do with Marin where you think he went too far?
Oh, I saw we were doing the FYF Fest, and I was like, he was like, you're worried about how you're going to do? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you're wondering, I think you'll do well because they're really going to like needy, goofy dummies or something.
Yeah.
And then, which people laughed. He said it better than that. And I was like, well, then they're going to love you. Mm. It doesn't feel right when I do it. You know, like immediately I just bailed on it. I was like, I'm on one shoulder, he's on the other.
It's funny how with comics there's that version of like wrestling.
Yeah.
Where at a certain point it's like, ha, this is fun. Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, I just
what
went
the
too
fuck,
far.
Dude?
Yeah, come on, man. That's off limits.
Yeah.
Uncle, oh, I didn't know.
Uncle.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I'm so sorry.
I don't want to change the dynamic. I like being made fun of by you people that I respect.
Right. So anyway, I don't know if that's what it was, but I always kind of felt bad about it. Like I shouldn't feel bad.
I honestly don't think she is so used to all that.
Yeah.
Back and
now, Chris,
forth.
I don't work there, but I think that's what did it.
She's like, it's time to break up with Chris. Did
well,
you hear
I don't
what
normally.
Said?
I don't normally. I mean, it's just I'm not an insult comic, and so when I step out of what I normally do and I do something, I always feel bad because I always feel like, oh, I just resorted to a cheap shot when
yeah.
I don't do. That's not what I do.
I have horrible moments. One of my least favorite moments was I was talking about. I'll never forget this. Because I made like kind of a homophobic joke because I was bombing, horribly bombing. I love that the AC went off for my tender story.
Yep.
And I was like, do you guys, I was just doing that thing that comedians do when they're just eating shit and I'm doing 20 minutes and I was like, do you guys have any Chinese restaurants here? Just trying to get any response and someone goes, yeah, cream of some young guy, right?
Yeah.
And then I go, oof. You eat there a lot, sir? And it like destroyed. And in the only laugh that I got in 30 minutes, I was just like, fuck me. Like, I made the worst,
the cheapest, yeah.
cheap, homophobic bullshit. Like, I
and
played
sweaty.
Him at his game.
Like, he totally reached for that. Like,
well, yeah, I know. He forced it. And then I was like, I'll join you in your riff.
And then you get mad because you let him drag you down to his level.
He did. And then I had to, like, continue with my act. Which
where was
like,
this?
That was in Peoria, Illinois. There's actually a video of me online called Pete Holmes Bombing, which is made from not
is that
show,
the jukebox?
But one of the shows. It's not at the jukebox. It's at Brewster's, which is now closed.
Oh, so did someone record that and put it online?
I recorded it.
And you put
it
online.
Edited it. We need to find a way in English to
that's
not
the worst
that.
Word.
Edited it.
You just need to edit out the ED at the end.
Edit it? Oh, edit it.
Yeah.
But I put it together with the worst moments. The dry mouth, the stammering, the pandering. If I had that moment, I don't know if I would have been ballsy enough to.
Have you had any moment? Have you guys had any moments like that recently? were just like any sweat moments?
I'm trying to think. They always pop up somewhere. You're never immune to them.
Yeah, it's more me than anything they would notice, because I'm still like, I fucking hate when I see somebody with their arms crossed, and
oh.
I will concentrate on them, and I'll let them almost ruin a set, like, you know, where I'm getting angry,
yeah.
and they don't even know, you know, that, and the rest of the crowd doesn't know, but I've had a lot of that a couple of times lately where it's like, you know, I focus on them and I all the other people, like there could be a guy next to, if there's an old lady doing this and if there's a guy next to her like almost pissing his pants or like falling out of his chair, I won't even notice him.
You just want to break, just you just totally, want to get into that woman's head.
Yeah. And I let it bug me, but I hope it doesn't, like, I hope most of the time people don't notice me do it, but I feel
I think
like
you
I still
notice it more
that.
Because
yeah,
you
yeah,
know
yeah.
what your intentions are. But most people, and also you have enough tools in your comedy kit after doing stand-up for so long yeah. that you can misdirect and trick.
I'm afraid I'm going to snap. Like, I'm getting really close because I've been doing so much road lately.
Yeah.
And that the net, because I did snap a couple weeks ago in Denver.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Were you Comedy Works?
Yeah. And
downtown
it was
or the suburbs up one?
There. Yeah, downtown.
Great club.
Yeah. And the show was fucking awesome, but I'm doing this joke. I have this big chunk now where it's just about how much I hate myself and how gross I am. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's like
doing old material.
Yeah, well, no, the whole shit on the back thing is part of that. And it's just, you know, my balls have gotten bigger. My, you know, I try to fart and it turns into shit. And just, I fucking hate myself so much. And I'm talking about that. And I'm just saying, I've actually said a couple of times at this point how gross I am. And I hear this woman, and not everybody else can hear, but she says to her friend once, she goes, "He's gross." And I hear her, and
oh no,
it fucking pisses me off because I'm in my head. I'm like, "Yes, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm
telling you this.
All this material is about." Then she does it again. She does it a third time, and I fucking lost it because she even raised her voice the third time because she wanted me to hear it then. And the whole crowd was on my side. But it was one of those, and I've still never, like, I hate hecklers because I just think it's, like, the fucking rudest thing in the world. So I'll go from, "Hey, isn't this fun?" to, "I want to fucking hit you with the mic stand." You know, like the thing how you were talking about, like, being kind of scared of me, I know that I have that. I have a little bit of that of, I'm fucking almost 7 feet tall. Yeah. I could fucking kill you.
Yeah, it's like Santa. Well, you know, like,
talking during anybody is bad, but really talking during me, I look like a mental patient.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking huge. Right. I've never punched anybody, but I could hug you to death.
Right.
So shut the fuck up. Wow. Like, and I have a little bit of that. Like,
I don't mind. I don't mind. I mean, the heckling doesn't bother me because I do a lot of crowd work, and so I kind of like weaving in and out and stuff. And I find that sometimes, actually, a lot of times, my actual written jokes, it's hard for me to follow crowd work with written jokes. When go back into, because then there's that shared experience where people are in the moment and they love it, and then you're like, and now here's sandwiches are strange, and, you know, and so, but the one kind of heckler that I can't stand is the fucking drunk person who is just dismissive and over it, like not someone who's like, I'm having fun. I'm shouting back. Hey, we're all in a thing. It's just a sort of like, ugh, whatever. You know, like those kind of people. I can't.
I had in Lakeshore, which is a great fucking theater in Chicago. This guy was going,
You know,
after punchlines. Oh, and that's worse than saying you fucking suck. Like, you know, or I hate you. Like, that's just doing that dismissive.
Like dismissive. Yeah.
That's contempt. He has contempt for you. Yeah. That's what that sound is. That's an eye roll.
Yeah, or like the jokes were too easy or whatever.
I also hate the...
Fuck you.
And I have to watch this because for some reason that sound...
Like hissing?
No, it's not hissing. Like I'll be like, and that's when my boner fell off or whatever. Some joke and people are like...
Oh, yeah. It's like air being let out of a balloon.
That's what I say. I would rather silence than one person letting the air out of a tire.
They're like, we were expecting something different.
Yeah.
Or what about this?
But
can hear, there could be 300 laughs at once, and then you hear that. Like, even though most like regular people's ears
dismissive.
Probably aren't tuned to that. You know what I mean?
That's dismissive. That kind of ha is dismissive because it's like, I get it. I see what you did there. That's
it's not
dismissive.
Only do I not like it, but I don't want you to think that you think that I didn't get it. I get it. I reject it. And I want you to know that this is near the sound you'd like to hear.
Right. And all these other people are wrong. All the other people. Yeah.
The reaction that sends me into an almost rage is if I say something that's not really that offensive, but for whatever reason, an audience just goes, ooh. Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't even say anything crazy. Yeah, if you listen to the words, you would know that that was not remotely what you thought it was.
Right. And when that happens early on in a set, don't you just want to go like...
Thank you, goodnight.
No, you want to go Jesselnik on him. You want to go fucking... You think that's bad. I'm going to talk about babies being raped. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I saw David Taylor had a set once. Maybe it was at the Comedy Store. But the crowd, it was just like that kind of crowd, and they were just being difficult and fighting him. And he seriously, and then ended up being hilarious. He was like, you guys don't even understand. When I'm on stage and you're behaving this way, I want to fucking literally murder. I am picturing your blood painting the back of the room right
totally
now. Like, he just, you know.
I've said stuff close to that. About because hecklers.
Because you're just in that sort of heightened emotional moment. And then if someone is dismissive of the fact that you're like, and it is kind of a spoiled arty thing, like, I'm doing my art, stop it.
Sure.
But it does take a lot of effort, and it's a lot of emotional effort, and, you know, doing 7 shows in a weekend is very draining. And the least that you ask of an audience is just like, look, this is a relationship. I'll do my part. You just have to do a little bit of your part, and everything's going to be fine.
Right.
And when people show up and they don't want to do that, it's like, come on, everyone else is on board.
Right. There's a fun story.
It's hashtag whiny comic.
No. The other side of that, the kind of self-deprecating, because I was thinking about this when you were saying it, Brian, is that I will also focus on one person not laughing. There's a funny story Mulaney told me about this guy killing in stand-up New York, and except for the person in the front row, and he's destroying. And this one guy, no laughs at all. And the comedian leans down to talk to him and says, I agree with you, pal, but I think we're outnumbered. Which I think is like the best.
That's such a positive.
That's great.
I love that. I really appreciated that. But I also feel pure rage too. Don't get me wrong. I want to light people on fire all the time.
Yeah, and so we know Ron goes after the crowd too.
Yeah, Ron's a real rage tornado.
I just can't picture you going after the crowd in a rage.
No, I usually do. I mean, I just try to keep to myself and what I'm doing. But the same thing, if someone's being dismissive or if they're just being ooey and making groans for looking for keywords instead of listening to what I'm saying, then I'll go off the handle real quick.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I can't imagine that.
I had this one story was really, it was March 1st, and that'll come into play. It was this bar that used to be a bank.
Why am I telling you the date?
Wait, guys, I just learned about plot. This is going to come into play later.
So, a date in the first act.
I'm going to put a gun out. And so I'm doing this gig just in like Tacoma, Washington, somewhere. And it used to be a bank and then became a bar called The Vault. And it was just horrible and nobody was enjoying me at all. And I was doing the first 5 minutes. And then these two very flamboyant black guys start coming in and they're just like, oh, you doing your comedy thing? Oh, that's cool. Keep it up. Susan, you see him doing his comedy thing over there? Just talking to everyone in the whole club louder than my set. And then I'm just going like, oh, it's only been a couple of days past Black History Month and I hate niggas again.
Holy shit.
It did not get this reaction.
What did they say?
They're like, oh no.
Did they
react?
They just kept talking. And I did my set.
Did they hear you?
Yeah, they heard me. But they were not concerned about me. So I just ran into my van and got stoned.
Every Ron Funches story ends that way.
Good or bad? That's the signature on his email.
Fucking amazing.
I love every piece of that. You are running to a van to get stoned. Every piece of that is gorgeous.
I need to be in my van now. For those of you not familiar with the wonderful Ron Funches, he is black.
Yes.
So he's allowed to say that word.
Yeah, that story.
You're so lucky. You get to use the N word, Ron.
Yeah.
You get to make Black History jokes.
Comic book. Pete, I think they bought it. Thank God.
Chris, I'm sorry. I have to go. Is this the kind of podcast where we can discuss that openly? Like, I mean, it can be a part of the show where I go, I have to go, and then people are like, I liked minute 54 where Pete left, but then it went on to this great story where Mira knew more pizzas.
Right.
Still does it, Myra.
Myra.
I don't give a fuck what your name is.
Do you really have to go, Pete Holmes?
I do, I'm sorry.
I kind of want him to go now.
Oh, shit. You know what? Pete, do you mind? Pete, it's been a very interesting comedy competition. This is part of the podcast. Ron,
who will go home?
Fortune, you have both interesting stories. Brian, you were in a car accident, so you have that. Matt, Myra, you don't qualify because you're part of this show. You're a co-host. So the person that we choose to give the sad face to... Pete Holmes.
Oh. I had to give back my microphone.
You have to give back your microphone.
No, you still have to pack up your knives.
Yeah, I mean, that's a laugh you could end the whole show on, and we could all leave. Can I plug my special? It's in Austin on October 23rd, and I'll be doing it in LA on October 20th at the Improv.
No, you can't plug it.
I'm so sorry I have to go. It's so stupid. Thanks
that's
for
all right. Thanks
me.
For thanks for being here, Pete Holmes.
Okay, everybody.
We're gonna wrap it up soon. I'll just wrap it up.
Intro? Yeah. I'll get that.
Do you want to record your podcast intro here on this podcast?
This is a great new episode. What's up, weirdos?
I'll be your music bed.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, Pete Holmes.
Yes.
Bye. See you later, Holmesies. Never been called Hardys before in my life. I wanted to get to you about like how you deal with that stuff. Are people generally cool, or do you get disrespectful?
I mean, it depends on where I am. I do a lot of self-deprecating humor. So I'll get like the, aw, and I hate that because I'm like, obviously I'm okay with this. That's what I'm talking about it. And they're like, no, you're beautiful inside too.
And I'm like, this is the audience.
Please stop.
You're a firework.
You're making it so much worse.
Just go and just laugh. Ha ha, she's in on the joke. Come on.
That's the deal we made. Yeah. You come here, I say things, you laugh.
And I get it more and more now because they think that I'm like being hard on myself. I'm like, no.
Where do you find that though? Like, what is there a particular area? Like,
well, I think now, like, if people see me on the show, on Chelsea or whatever, and so they like think of me as like, oh, like, you know, fun, silly Fortune. We like her. Like, and then so when I make fun of myself, they feel the need to protect me all of a sudden. I'm like, that's not what we're doing here.
Is it, guys? It feels like it might be middle-aged Southern women.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, bless her heart.
Honey, you gotta love you. You're like, I do. It's just a giant comic.
I think you need to talk to somebody because, you know, you're just a real good person. I want you to think better of yourself. There's someone out there for you. I know it.
You're gonna find yourself a husband. Okay, I don't think you're listening.
Wait a second. You really don't know me.
Well, not with that attitude, you're not gonna find a man. Okay, you're really not listening to what I'm saying. You're really not listening.
I get that same thing, but it's mostly other nerds or like nerdy women who would fuck me, maybe.
Oh,
so when I'm saying how ugly I am, they're like, "Nah." Like, I ran into with you at the Helium.
Yeah,
and it was like these cool girls that ran a food truck. You know, the Betty Page shit, they're covered in tattoos.
Yep.
And they have a crush or whatever. I don't know. I'm just assuming because it was so weird. But it's happened a lot since then. But that was like one
lunchbox purse.
I remember
that kind of thing where, and it kind of threw off my set because, like I was saying earlier, my whole set now is basically how much I hate myself and how gross I am. So, like, to have somebody going, no, we
you're
like
ruining
you.
It.
You know, it's like, no, fucking shut up and laugh with all the other people who do think I'm gross.
It was after every joke, too. That was the part where it was like, they're not just disagreeing. They're just like, no, we want to fuck you. Yeah, and you're handsome, and you need to know it.
We're going to take you in our food truck.
I get a lot of rowdy people now, too, because of Chelsea. I get her fans, so they're all drunk. They think that I'm like drunk the whole time. So I'll be telling jokes and they'll yell punchlines or like be like, you know, just wanting to party with me. I'm like, all right, well, let me finish this. And like I was at I did the Comedy Store La Jolla a couple weeks ago, and a guy, like every joke was just like yelling the punchline. I'm like, all right, this is, stop.
And like, where's Chewy? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
And then finally they escorted him out. I didn't ask him to. I was like, whatever. They took him out or whatever. After the show, I come out and he's standing outside. I'm like, oh shit, I'm about to get beat up by dude. This is not gonna be fun. And he's like, I'm your biggest fan. I'm like, why are you ruining my show?
He thought he was helping.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be involved.
Worst hecklers of all. Or the helpers.
Mm. Right.
I've always fucking hated them the most. I love you. Well, then shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but like they just, you know, it's just, I think they feel like they're a fan of yours and they want to connect with you and they probably feel like, well, I'm never going to get one-on-one time with the person. So I'll connect with them. I think in their head, they think they're going to shout something and you're going to go, oh my God, that was inspired. And then you'll be clinking glasses later.
Right.
But you know,
that's never, ever, ever happened. Instead, I don't want to meet them after the show.
Oh, wait, I have a question about Rhodes, because you're really tall and Melanie's really small. So how big do you think he's going to be?
He's in the, like, It's a thing I'd never even heard of till I had a kid. You know, the percentiles. He's in the 95 percentile. So he's going to be a big kid.
Oh, he is.
And
okay.
He's already got, like, my... Poor guy. He's already got my body shape. At least he doesn't have my face.
Come on.
Shut the fuck
up. No, buddy, you're great. You're beautiful.
You're really
cute. He's got my wife's adorable looks, but like my body type, and he's like super white.
Yep.
And red hair, and he's, you know, can't go outside.
Yeah.
just can't fries. Do Ron Tackler material.
But he's got like, he's got like the long torso. Yeah. He says the N-word a lot around the house. When he says it at CPK, people kind of... That kid's way too white to be saying that word.
He learned it from Ron Funches.
That adorable little
thing. He says
he's
pulling the black card. We're like, it doesn't work like that.
No, you don't just get to do that. What about your son?
Doing great. He's 9. I saw him recently because he lives in Oregon still.
Okay.
And I'm here in LA. And I let him drive my friend Ganja John's car without his notice. And I'm just going to say it here. And he loved it.
You let a 9-year-old drive a car?
I hadn't seen him in several weeks.
So that was how you get
You're like,
on his
I
good
owe
side.
You.
All right, buddy.
Do you want to do something illegal?
He's going to figure out because kids
are
smart.
Daddy's got a 6-week pass.
He's going to figure out that if he doesn't see you for longer periods of time and he gets cooler and cooler activities.
Oh, he already knows. I just talk to him every other day and he just gives me a list of video games to buy him.
Oh, shit.
That's about it. It lets me know what's out and what's coming soon.
Daddy, Borderlands 2 is coming.
It's all about
I think Ganja John would be okay with you, buddy.
He might be.
Ganja John's in my act for having, he has a fake eye. When he has a real eye. He has one real one.
Who the fuck is Ganja
Why
John?
Why do I'm so, such a pessimist. He has a fake eye. He has a real one. He has one real one. And then one fake one. And no, it's a true story. And I felt really bad about telling this story. And then I saw him up in Portland. And I'm like, hey, man, you're in the act. Is that okay? And he's like... Fuck yeah. And then I just saw him again. And he's like, my dad's so proud of me that I'm in your special.
Aw, that's sweet.
Because he took his fake eye out while we were high as fuck. Were you in that circle?
Yeah.
And I did not deal with it well.
I don't think I would deal with it well either.
When you're high, you're like, I must be really high. It looks like you just pulled your eye out of your head.
Right. Oh, that's true.
And I wrote, like, it's basically a 10-minute bit telling that whole story and then, you know, going past it. But he's been totally cool with it. So if he's okay with me telling everybody he has a fake eye, he's all right with an adorable child driving his car.
Yeah, around a very fast around a parking lot.
Well, you're in a parking lot, so it's safe.
Fine. He tried to make it not
safe.
He
tried
to make it not safe.
Well, I think we're about at the end of our show. This is really fun. We haven't really done like a comedy dogpile show like this. And I really
it's a lot of fun.
And it was great because it wasn't. It totally, you know, when you get a lot of comics together, it could totally have been like everyone on top of each other.
Well, if Jonah Ray were here.
Yeah. And seriously, when Pete left, it's kind of loosened up a little
bit. Yeah, it's
been
better, right?
Finally.
This is the only part of the podcast he will listen to.
He's going to fast forward to
What did they say without me? I wonder what they said without me. Why is
and
Chris doing an impression of me?
And masturbate while he listens to himself.
Is it weird that I masturbated to you doing an impression of me? I don't know what that makes me.
The YouTube video of him bombing is playing. In the background, he's just dying.
All right, so the show in LA is at Club Nokia on the 21st, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's all you guys and Arch Barker as well.
Yes.
That's gonna be a fucking awesome show, I think. And Kyle Kinane.
Kyle Kinane. Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fucking crazy solid show.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So people can leave when I get up and talk about my balls because you'll have had enough comedy.
Wow.
That's awesome. Well, I think I'm in town the 21st. I'll come watch. Oh, okay. I'll do a guest set. All right.
Yes.
Are you sure you want me to do a guest set?
You have
a lot of comics
yet?
On. We're promoting it now. Oh, so basically it's like a bringer room. I have to bring my podcast audience to get to perform the show.
Oh,
no, I don't want to. I wouldn't.
We tried.
I wouldn't want to.
No,
like
I want you to. It's my thing.
But you have already a lot of comics on there. I don't want to. I don't want to take up your stage time.
Maybe Chris Hardwick will be there.
It's possible, but it's a fucking full show.
Come to the show, guys.
Good to see you guys. Thank you so much for being
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having us.
Enjoy your burritos, everybody.
Oh, and it's Riot LA, right? Did we say that? It's part of Riot LA.
Oh, okay.
So they're doing shows that whole week. Do you know about that? It's that
Comedy festival.
Indie comedy, or alternative comedy festival, right? For lack of a... Are we still calling ourselves alternative?
The word always feels weird coming out of my mouth, but I don't know what else to...
I've hated it since the 90s, but I think eventually grunge bands start calling themselves grunge bands. Too,
we all just admit that that's what people call it.
We don't know what else to call it.
We need another name, but I don't know what that name is yet.
New comedy, NU.
Yeah.
I hated new metal
with
so
an
much.
Umlaut on the U.
I hate it so much.
Can we do the two dots over the U?
I do new comedy.
It's new. New comedy. Wait, so it's just comedy? Well, sort of. It's new comedy. Try to explain alternative comedy to someone and it sounds like you don't really do comedy. Well, it's like for a certain kind of... Oh, okay, so it's not... Yeah, well, yeah, but it's like nerds. Oh, so it's not really...
So you really don't do comedy,
it's not
dude.
Really a... Fine.
Do you love... I know we're trying to end, but do you love that there's nerd rooms everywhere now or nerd shows?
Yeah, of course. I mean, because... I mean, like the most fun shows we get to do are at Comic-Cons. Like when you get our crowd together and everyone's firing on all cylinders and they get every reference and like it's just it. I feel like it's cheating a little bit because it's like, well, we're just performing for our friends, but it's so much fucking fun. I far prefer it.
We can get
right,
applause
but rooms around the
Mr.
country
Belvedere
now.
References.
Like, you know, I was at Virginia Beach and it's like these comics come up and they go, yeah, we do the nerd show here at the Improv every Sunday, and it's like, fucking, why didn't that exist? I guess we had to make it. We had to make it exist first.
You had to build it.
A little bit of time.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, like in all seriousness, something like, you know, guys like Cross or guys like you, touring comedians of comedy, you guys inspired. Like you took
no, that's what I mean.
You took
yeah,
those shows that you know that we were doing in small rooms in New York and L.A. and put it made it public.
Right.
And so made it public for people to see. Like, oh, that's a thing. So. You know, it really, you know, yeah, you actually, I'd say you have a lot of responsibility in that. You guys are sort of the godfathers of that, I would say. So, nice. Well done.
Oh, thanks. That's one good thing.
Now, when they said that, do you say, kneel before Zod?
No, because like I used to do a joke about the alternative thing. I always thought of myself as the Fredo Corleone of the alternative scene. Like I barely fit into that because I was a brick wall comic before I was an alternative comic. You know, like
yeah, but a lot of guys
I did
were
Star Search '95 and shit.
I know,
you know?
But a lot of guys were because that's I mean Doug Benson and Dana
true.
Gould and like all of them because that's all that was available.
Janine even
and Janine, yeah, that's all that was available before then. So.
Our Michael Corleone, she started on like the comedy. That's how I saw her was, you know, doing Comedy Channel going, who's that cute girl talking about swatches?
Yeah.
She seems weird.
I think I like her. Oh, my God. Is she wearing a dress and Doc Martens?
Right.
This is crazy. That's what I would do if I were a lady. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that is simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to HOVER.com/Nerdist.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels...
There are murders in all of the books.
...that she was playing them out in real life? You can listen to Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.